by the end of the series, probably. You're probably wondering, where am I? What are we doing around here? No other church I know of is opening their worship or their sermon series with Harry Carey singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I don't know if you're down with that or not, but I think it's pretty cool. We are starting a new series today, and as you might notice, I'm dressed a little bit different. I'm not a Baltimore Orioles fan. I just need to say that out front. Linwood is, but I am an Eddie Murray fan, and that's what this jersey is all about. Because I grew up, I love the guy as a baseball player. Pretty cool. And you're still wondering, what's this got to do with anything, right? Maybe you don't even know. Well, we're starting a series in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's called, historically, kind of nicknamed, the Hall of Faith. And we're studying these guys who have been known for the special things that they've done, and they've been lifted up and honored throughout all of history for their acts of faith. So there was this kind of spin-off of words as we were talking about this in our preaching team of Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame. It's kind of like a faith Hall of Fame. And then the reaction went to, well, what's the most famous Hall of Fame? And then the whole baseball thing started coming up. But we'll get to that in a second. How many of you have been to a Hall of Fame? Of any kind. Anybody? I kind of like Hall of Fames. This is a place where very special people get recognized for their special accomplishments. I've been to a few Halls of Fame. Just brought a couple pictures with me of some of the ones that I've been to. Maybe you've recognized some of these. If you're from Ohio, you might recognize the National Aviation Hall of Fame up at the Air Force Museum in Dayton. Maybe you've been there. Air Force guys, thank you for all you've done. Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame in Dayton, Ohio as well, I believe it is. But right, is that right? You got me? It's been a while. I was little. In fact, I think, the Steelers were winning championships back then. But I love that Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame in Indianapolis, Motorsports Hall of Fame. You guys been there? Cool, cool place. Cars everywhere. Really, really neat. And up in Massachusetts, I know we don't have anybody from Massachusetts here in the audience, but this is the Basketball Hall of Fame up in Springfield. Really good place. And right over in St. Pete, maybe you've been to the Trop and you've seen the Ted Williams Hitters Hall of Fame. How many of you can guess where this is? Anybody know? I'm not going to give it away. Yeah, but Cleveland, Ohio, this is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We were able to go there a few years ago, my son, my best friend, and I. And for you youngsters in the room, all right, now Elvis is a pop icon from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. All right, you might not know that. They got a room dedicated to him there, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We have a Hall of Fame here on campus. Might not know this, over in Nate's office. He has managed to put together a little wall. That was a couple years ago. This is what it looks like now. A lot of people that work here and our interns and things like that. And of course, in my opinion, my favorite Hall of Fame of all is in Cooperstown, New York. And that is the National Baseball Museum and Hall of Fame up there. Any New Yorkers, I don't know if you've been there or not, it is an amazing place. This, where these the hallowed halls where these special players for the special things they've done are recognized and honored for that. Especially if you've been there during induction week. Induction week's a special, special time. I've been there a couple times as players have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, the parades and things like that. It's really pretty cool. If you're wondering who that man is there in the picture with me, that's you're going to think I'm an Oriole fan, but I'm really not an Oriole fan. That's Frank Robinson, a baseball Hall of Famer. You can kind of check these things out and look through what they mean to you, but it's just neat because as you go through these places, especially in Cooperstown, you see that, man, generations going way, way back are looking at these things and recognizing what these guys have done in their careers. And for generations to come, they will be recognized for the things that they did. And that kind of brings us back to Hebrews chapter 11, where the heroes and the people, the Hebrew heroes that we read about in this chapter, they're being recognized for all of history. In fact, the whole Bible is filled with people like this. And I think it's really cool that in the New Testament, we kind of have this tour through the Old Testament. So we're going to take a look at this chapter in depth over the next couple weeks, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Hebrews, there's a couple things you should know about it. In fact, go ahead and turn there. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip to the book of Hebrews. It's in your New Testament. It's near the end of the Bible, capital H. Check it out, the book of Hebrews. And we are going to focus on 11, but a little bit of background. All right, the author of Hebrews, we don't know who it is. We don't know who wrote the book. Most scholars believe that it could have been the Apostle Paul, but he never gives his name. Some people believe it was Luke, Dr. Luke, or Apollos. All three of these you could make a really good argument for, but we just don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Still a fascinating book. The book was obviously written to Jewish Christians who had converted from Judaism to Christianity. And as a result of that, they were being persecuted by the Jewish leaders who they converted from Judaism, and also from Nero and the Roman government. So we know that this happened. This book was written between 63, 64, 65 AD, before the destruction of Jerusalem. So as you read this, you get this kind of historical context. And the theme of the book is that we would remain faithful to the greater things of Jesus. You see, this was a time of persecution. This was tough, tough times for these believers. And they were being encouraged and not to turn back from the things that they knew to be true in Christ, back to Judaism and to the law. Remain faithful to the greater things of Jesus, because Jesus, and you see this all throughout the book, is superior. He's greater than anything else and everything else. So you see the author making a case that Jesus is greater than the angels. He's greater than the Torah, the law, or even Moses. He goes through the royal priesthood of Melchizedek and said, Jesus is greater than that. Jesus is greater than the sacrificial system. In fact, provides a different perfect sacrifice for our sins. You see, all of this was a revolutionary reminder for these Jewish Christians who needed to hear this message of faith. The message builds up kind of through the first 10 chapters, and I love chapter 10 of Hebrews. And at the very end of this chapter, right before Hebrews 11, which we'll be talking about, it says this in verse 38. It says, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. It's kind of a theme throughout the book. And the author sets us up for this list, this kind of hall of fame heroes, this hall of faith heroes and the special things that they did. And this is just a snapshot of the Old Testament, a really good just kind of taster. So we're going to be looking at the Old Testament over the next couple weeks and these wonderful stories of these men and these women. In fact, there's a study guide available if you want to take a look. There's some sermon notes in your bulletin. You can follow along through Hebrews 11 as we go through this series. And I hope that you will. Online, there's some helps there. Just all kinds of ways that we can kind of dig into the pages of this Hebrew hall of faith. So Hebrews chapter 11. The word faith itself, hundreds of times in Scripture, but in just Hebrews 11 alone, it's used 24 times. Just in this one chapter, 19 times the expression by faith is used. So when we hear this, we think, by faith, live by faith. By faith this happens and that happens. And this is how it starts. Look at Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. This is all we're going to talk about today. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Let's read it together. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. He's kind of setting us up there. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. See that word faith right out of the gate in chapter 11, the word faith. And we kind of throw that word around a lot. I don't know, you might use it in terms of your relationship or in terms of, you know, somebody that you know or a place that you've been or done or seen, the word faith. We just kind of throw it around. What I'm really curious about is, what do you think the word faith means? Like, if you had to come up with a really snap one-word, two-word definition, what would that definition be? And coincidentally, who do you know? Do you know something or someone that is faithful or that has practiced faith? So real quick with your neighbors, I mean, just for about 30 seconds, just kind of take a little mind break. Go ahead and tell your neighbor what you think faith is, all right? Just go ahead and share with each other. And what is something or someone that you have faith in, all right? Real quick, go ahead and discuss that, and we'll come right back and jump into Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 3. I think all of us kind of have an idea of what faith means, and we certainly have known someone or trusted in something or had faith in something. So to go back to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, let's take a look at some of these words. In fact, first of all is the word faith, the word faith. The Greek word for this literally means this. It means believing based on the reliability of the one trusted. So it's believing based on the reliability of the one trusted. Trust is a key word there. The next word you see there is confidence. The word confidence, the Greek word means to have a confident assurance, to believe in a way that allows us to accept, grasp, or even possess what we cannot see. I'm not sure about it, but we know it's true. It's confidence. And we have confidence in what we hope for. I really like this word in the Greek. It's to look forward to something with confident expectancy. Now, there's some ladies in the room I know that can relate to the word expectancy, okay? There's a hope. There's a confidence there, you know, or maybe a hope that's involved. I know there's a couple moms that are expecting right now in here. And it just kind of, I'm excited for them. And there's hope. And there's something there that we're waiting on with assurance. And this is pretty cool. Assurance or certainty. The word here is believing with evidence. Believing with evidence for the proof of something, perhaps proof of something that we do not see but are convinced is true. So we have these words, faith, confidence, hope, and assurance. My favorite illustration for faith is, I've used this in multiple environments. I hope it's not too silly or elementary for you, but it just so happens to be, here's my Hall of Fame thing here, it happens to be this chair. Now, every person in this room had some kind of faith today when they walked in this room. Everybody. Because you probably sat right down in the chair that you're sitting in. Am I correct? All right, now how many of you checked the nuts, the bolts, whatever, the glue? I don't even know what happens there. You had faith in the chair that you are sitting in, even though you didn't see it to be true before you sat down. It's kind of a simple illustration of faith, but you were confident that it would hold your weight even before you really checked it out and saw that it held your weight. You follow me? Faith. You hoped it would. You hoped it would based on the evidence that maybe you sat in the chair last week and nobody snuck in and broke it on you, you know? Or you had confidence in the fact that these chairs always work and that there's no one, and you had confidence in CCW, to be honest, that we actually buy furniture that works around here, you know? If you sat down today and this chair was not holding your weight, you probably would call the office tomorrow and go, hey, look, I broke a chair in the auditorium yesterday. And hopefully that'll never happen to you. So that'd be kind of weird. But you were assured enough. You, based on the evidence, you were assured enough to sit down. And if you had never sat down in your chair, would you have had faith in it? You could walk around this thing all day long and believe it would hold you. You could look at and think about and process what maybe the past, the present. You might see other people sitting in their chairs. But until you literally sit down in the chair, you have not put your faith in the chair. It's when you sit in the chair. That'd be funny if I actually had a broken chair up here, wouldn't it? Man, when you sit in the chair, now you're putting your chair. Now follow me, track me here, because this is how it is with God a lot of times, with Jesus. There's some of us in the room, and some of us have been thinking about Jesus for a long time. We've seen other people's faith. We've seen other people sitting in the chair and putting their trust in Christ, but have never done it ourselves. Faith is when you literally trust something enough to put your life at stake, to trust in it. That's how faith works. So, how faith works. Just some simple things that we can kind of talk about. I love verse 2. It starts out this way. Faith is what the ancients, this is what the ancients were commended for. And with this verse, verse 2, this statement, it begins our tour through the Hall of Faith. And Hall of Faith member number one, Hall of Fame member number one is God. I mean, you kind of knew that was coming, right? God is Hall of Fame member number one. By faith we understand, look what it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at whose command? God's command. What is seen was not made out of what is not seen or visible. We all have faith. All of us have faith in something or in someone. The world works and operates on faith. And for Christ followers, faith works from a confident assurance in God. Literally, or the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our assurance,
our faith is in God himself. He is the source of our faith. We don't have faith because we're faithful. We have faith because we are made in the image of a faithful God. He is the reason and where our faith comes from. Faith comes from God himself. And he gives us this object of faith, one who is indisputably worthy of our faith, and that is Jesus, the Son of God, the object of our faith. We trust in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he gives us the power to have faith through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls us to faith. He's the one who opens our hearts and our minds to him, to God, by trusting in Jesus. If you're interested in the Holy Spirit, I just want you to take a look at what's coming up in a couple weeks on Wednesday nights as we study the Holy Spirit together up in Building B. Just check it out. Keep your eyes open. It's going to be really awesome. So our source is God. And the word confidence here in verse 1 means that faith stands under us. It is confidence. It supports us, kind of like the chair. It supports us. It sits under us, and we know that it's going to hold us up. And once under us, our faith can literally be built upon. It's the foundation in which we build. I love what Jude 1:21 there at the end of your Bible says. It says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith," build yourself up in the faith, "praying in the Holy Spirit," there he is, "keep yourselves in God's love," our source, "as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ," the object of our faith, "to bring you eternal life," Jude 1:21. It's his faithfulness, and that's how it works. So faithfulness comes from God, and we know that to be true, but it also must include action. You see, when we say faith works, that means that we actually have to practice it. Faith is an action word. James 2 teaches us this. Faith without works is dead. And without action, without trust, it is just belief. And the Bible questions whether it is worth anything at all. The people we see in Hebrews 11, we'll be taking a look at their lives, show us how faith acts, what it does, how it lives. And God honors these Hebrew heroes for their actions and for how they trusted God. And I'm really excited. I hope you'll keep coming back as we learn about these men and women. And action, by action, we mean that it literally means trust and obey. The trust and obedience, that's what faith includes. The ancients, as we see in verse 2, were honored for trusting and obeying God. And they did so through their failures, through their doubts, through their victories in good times and in bad times. These were not perfect people by any stretch of the imagination, but they were faithful people. And to have faith means to trust and obey God. That's how faith works. It's when we hear what God says, we believe it to be true, and then we do it by trusting in him. So the questions we have to ask ourselves is, where are you going? Where am I going or staying that really requires or demands trust in God? Am I doing things that I need to stop doing that would require me to obey? That's trust. That's faith. What are we doing or need to stop doing to obey God? And this is a great question. If we have to know everything in front of time, if we have to know it all beforehand, before we trust, before we obey, is it really faith at all? Another way faith works is that it brings understanding. I love verse 3. Check this out. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, we understand. We understand that our world, where we came from, we understand what it all means. Understanding. Understanding means you get it. Back in the preschool department, you hear this all the time. You get it? Got it? Good. You understand, right? You get it. It means to believe with reason. Faith always requires a leap beyond what we understand. A degree of trust is always required. That's what makes it faith. But the gap, and I hope you catch this, the gap between the leap, the gap of the leap can often be brought closer by evidence and understanding. The gap that we have evidence helps us to understand. It helps us to believe with reason that what we see in the universe, everything was made by something invisible, someone that's not visible, not by accident. Now, by faith, I, like many of you, choose to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, any explanation, and you know this, any explanation about where this came from requires faith, all of this. Any explanation requires faith. But by faith, I understand and believe with confident assurance that the universe was formed at God's command. I understand based on reasonable, scientific, comprehensible evidence that the invisible God formed a very visible, the very visible universe. That's understanding. Faith also works by understanding the Bible's message. The Bible shows it to be true, and we can believe with good reason that this book, the book that you read, is God's voice, that it's His word, and we're blessed by it. I love what John said, or the Apostle John, verse 20, verse 31. These things were written, these things, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Look, in a lost world, in need of hope, the Bible has a message of faith that we need to care about, we need to share about, we need to give out and live out every day. And that means faith matters. Faith really matters. It is crucial to everyday life. We exist because of it. Just today, as a matter of fact, all of us got in our cars and drove here. How many of you put your faith in the automobile you were in? Everybody, right? Right? And then the other drivers, you put your faith in every other driver on the road that they were texting and going to swerve over in your lane and literally make this the worst day of your life, right? We have faith in each other. It works on an everyday basis. If you go to a grocery store, you put your faith in the groceries that are put out for you, that they're all in date and everything's fresh and ready to go, right? What happens when you get bad groceries at a grocery store? Do you have faith in that store anymore? No. In fact, you want to ruin a fast food chain's reputation, take a look at some of their cleanliness thing. You lose faith in them and you're not going back. See, it works. It's everyday life that faith is crucial to. It helps us make sense of the life. In fact, on a personal level, I know that for myself, my faith in what I know to be true, this confident assurance, keeps me from doing things I shouldn't be doing. You know, it gives me a check, man. Like, is what I'm about to look at on my computer in line with what I believe to be true about God? No. Okay. Then I'm not going to do it. Is where I'm going and what I'm doing and how I'm speaking. You know, some of us really want our language to change. You know, we used to curse a lot, but now we don't curse a lot. Why? Because our faith has helped us to change. We believe it to be true. So therefore, when we read the Word of God, we believe it and things start to happen. It helps us make sense of the world. It also provides a basis for everything else. I mean, just think about this for a minute. It gives our life purpose. It gives us a moral compass and hope. And it matters. I love Hebrews 11, 6. We'll talk about this next week. But faith pleases God, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's an awesome, the first part, like, uh-oh, you know, but the second part, check that out. If we believe that He exists, He's got rewards for those who earnestly seek Him. Another reason that faith matters, really, really matters, is because it mattered to Jesus. Faith mattered to the Son of God. The book of Hebrews tells us this. Again, Jesus is superior to everything else. He is God. He is the Hall of Fame standard to whom everyone and by whom everyone else is measured. Jesus lived the perfect life. He taught and He led and He healed and He loved others perfectly. He died on a cross as a perfect sacrifice, the only one that could, so that we could be forgiven for our sins. And after being dead for 3 days, He rose again to life and He sits at the right hand of God. And by faith, we believe that He is coming back again. Look, we say, man, you know what? Easter is coming soon. It's just in a couple of, look, Easter's not coming soon. Easter has already happened. Jesus is risen from the dead, and we can believe that by faith. We celebrate that. We know that to be true. Look, in just a couple of weeks, and I hope that you'll do this. In fact, I brought some with me. You can pick these up on the way out. Invite your friends to come Easter Sunday, just a couple of weeks. We're going to talk a lot more about what this means and things like that, but grab one of these on your way out. They look just like this. They got a little baseball on them. I just hope you're as excited as I am about celebrating what we know to be true, that Jesus is risen. And when it matters because when someone does what Jesus did, and only He could do, what matters to Him matters. When somebody raises from the dead, we better listen. We better pay attention to what matters to Him. Jesus celebrated faith. He told His people to have faith. Sometimes He called His disciples out for having too little faith. and he showed us all how to live by faith. Hebrews, next chapter, 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Man, faith matters to the author and perfecter of faith. Everything, Jesus. Even more, the Word of God goes on throughout the whole New Testament. We are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 says. It says in Galatians 3 that we are made sons of God through faith, that the righteous will live by faith, Galatians 2, Romans 1. In Ephesians 6, we read about the armor of God, and we see that the shield of faith guards us against the evil one, that faith with works brings life and hope, James chapter 2, that those who have faith will be saved. Again, going back to Hebrews 10, where we started this morning, verses 35 through 39, I love this passage. Hebrews 10, 35 through 39, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. What's been promised? In a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. In verse 39, check this out. We're going to read this once or twice. But we do not belong to those who shrink back. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. I want to read that again. My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. But what? Read this with me. But to those who have faith and are saved. Live by faith. Faith has promises. It gets us through the hard times. Faith gives us hope. It gives us salvation. It gives us life. That's what faith is. That's how faith works. That's why faith matters. So think about it. As we get ready to launch this series, man, think about it. What do you put your faith in? What things in this life are you trusting it to? Does what you have faith in give you confidence? Does it give you assurance? Does it give you hope? Does it offer you salvation? Today, you and I, all of us, can decide to have confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. You can do, just like I can do, everything that it takes to discover a deeper faith in God and take those steps. You can trust your life to Jesus for the first time today. You can trust your life in Jesus in a new way today. Maybe you've been just kind of walking all along and your faith has gotten stale or, you know, just so used to it by now. We can give our lives and trust our lives to Jesus in a new way today. Start today. Ask questions of faith. Find answers of faith. Take action in faith. A great place to start. A great place to start growing in your faith might be to join a small group. Or to start or lead a small group if you're a member here. In fact, there's tables all over the place. You can check those out. You can look in your bulletins. There's some inserts in there. You can sign up online. This is the place to start. I think it'll be a great way for you to start growing in your faith. You can go online. You can check things out. Start studying. Start learning. Ask questions. Faith requires us sometimes to take chances. I want to encourage you to take chances and share your faith with someone else. Start simple. Study the Word. Maybe read your Bible for the first time or the 100th time in a new way. Serve someone. Yes, it's going to take faith. Trust, obey, but do. Do what God and what faith has asked you to do today, tomorrow, at work, at home, at school, in your marriages, privately, publicly. I'm so glad to be part of a church that lives by faith, and I hope you are too. That's what we're here for. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being people of faith who live by faith. Next week, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm not going to tell you anything else. This is going to require you to have a little bit of faith. All right, next week, I want you to bring a dollar bill with you. All right, just bring a dollar bill or more. You can bring a five or 20 or 100 if you want. But bring cash, okay? You're going to need at least a dollar bill next week. That's all I'm going to say. Let's see if you got that kind of faith. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do with it because I don't know yet. All right? I just had some faith telling you that. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and the band's going to come up, and we'll kind of close with a challenge. But I'm just excited, man. I hope you are too, about where we're headed and the fact that we can even know God. Let's pray to him. Father, you are amazing, and you are faithful and true, and we have studied that over the last number of months, just who you are and what you mean to us as the God who wants us to know him. And we know that you're faithful, so we know that you hear our prayers, and you know that that you honor our faith, and we know that we can walk in faith and live by faith and pray in faith. We can do things in faith. God, I pray that everything that we are and all that we do from the inside out, led by your Holy Spirit, trusting in your Son Jesus, that we would be people of faith and that we would do your word. God, please give us the power and the energy and the wisdom to do that this week, every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and sing together. Let's sing this song, and you can live by faith. If you're a Christ follower today, you have faith to sing about.